God, we just ask in these moments, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be pleasing to you. We just pray that you would speak in these moments powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my name is Kevin, and I am the multi-site pastor across our Watermark campuses, and it's a privilege to be with you, and it's so good to see your eyes, at least, behind your masks. And as Trevor mentioned, with the fall, I don't know about you, but this is one of my favorite times of the year, just to enjoy the colors that are starting, even the last couple days in our region. And as I look back at the summer, as I begin this message, my family, we took advantage of the time of quarantine together. And one of the things that we did together was we read through and or even listened through while we looked at the books of C.S. Lewis, the Chronicles of Narnia. Do you guys know the books of Chronicles of Narnia and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Prince Caspian? And then so we read those, and then we were able to watch through Disney Plus the movies after the fact to kind of see them come alive in different ways. Well, there's a quote that I want to start off with from one of the Chronicles of Narnia books, and one of the characters is looking in a specific spell book. And in this book, there's a spell that actually reads this way. The description is this: how to remember things forgotten and how to forget things you wanted to forget. I just want to stop for that and just think about that for a moment. Let me read that again. How to remember things forgotten and how to forget things you wanted to forget. Now, if I gave you a choice and said, would you rather choose to remember something you've forgotten or forget something that you wanted to forget, what would you choose? That's a good question. And some of you who have more age than me even have more memories and things you wish, man, I wish I would remember this. Maybe for some of you, if you chose the first thing that you wish to remember something you've forgotten, maybe it's a special memory of someone that has passed on from this life, that they're not here anymore. My grandparents, my great-grandparents, a friend. Wish you could remember more of those memories. Or what about that file that you just, I know I put it in some safe kept place so I would remember where it is, but I can't remember where that is right now. Or some of you losing your keys could be a small thing once in a while. Or maybe it's just remembering people's names better, that every time you go to that destination or that place, or you, if I could just remember that person's name, man, I would love that. Or maybe for some of you, you wish you could remember how bad you feel after you eat Mighty Taco, but you keep going back to it. And then, I wish I could remember how I feel right after I eat that Mighty Taco, that Super Mighty. Or maybe for some of you, maybe at the other side, that you would choose to forget something that happened to you, that as though it never happened in your life, that you'd say, yeah, I would choose that one rather than remembering things that I often forget. Maybe for you, that's a painful memory. Maybe that's something only you know. Maybe someone did something to you, said something to you, didn't say something to you. Or maybe there was a time when you did something to someone else and you can't get that out of your mind. It just relives itself every so often. Or maybe you wish you would somehow forget how delicious Mighty Taco is. Right? So we have these memories in our lives, and very often it's interesting that some things in our lives become unforgettable in the best possible way, and other things become unforgettable in the worst possible way. Are you tracking with me? Like, our memories are powerful. And as we're talking about this in this series, Golden, the idea of the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you. This is Jesus' words. It's not like something we just made up as a society. Jesus said, if you want to live life the way I designed you to live, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we're talking about relationships. God is all about relationships. Our memories have a major impact in how we live our lives, in how we navigate our relationships. And it's important to know that our memories either bond us together or they rip us apart. So we're going to talk today, and there's going to be an opportunity for you, as we have a symbolic door up on the stage, an opportunity for you to have an open door experience, maybe an epiphany moment with you and God based on your memories and your relationships, people in your life, People when you think about, you can't help but smile and laugh. And then other people that you think about, you can't help but knot up inside. It's something deep. Just the thought of that person just starts to tear you apart. So today I want to look at a scripture passage, look at a character in scripture that you may not have even heard of before, found in the book of Genesis. And his name is Lamech. Lamech. And Lamech is best known for what he forgot than for what he remembered. And so if you have a Bible, if you have an app, whatever, if you want to open up to Genesis chapter 4, I want you to notice as we read, notice the lengths into which Lamech savors the memory of a specific thing that happened in his life. Just look, let's look at his life, and then we'll reflect on our own life. But if you find his story in Genesis chapter 4, verse 19 through 23, and it says this. Now, there's going to be some crazy, interesting names here. I haven't really met anybody with these names, so if I brutally destroy the pronunciation of these names, I'm told I'm just supposed to say it with confidence, and then it just comes out right. So bear with me, all right? So Genesis chapter 4, Lamech. Lamech, it tells us right away that he married two women, one named Ada and the other named Zillah. Now, Ada gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who lived in tents and raised livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all who played string instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. And Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Now, let's go back to Lamech. Now, Lamech said to his wives, listen to this, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. So right away, this guy's speaking in third person. I don't know if you've been around someone who speaks in third person. If you know a Kevin who speaks in third person, it's just really weird to be around that type of person. So he's saying, wives, the two wives that he chose, listen to this. He says, I have killed a man for wounding me. Now I want to stop right there. There's a couple things we learn. There's three things we learn from Lamech. First off is this, if you're taking notes. Lamech, he is a polygamist. In other words, he has more than one wife. And he is the first person in the history of the world to have more than one wife, right? Because, again, this message is not about polygamy. And very simply, if it was, here's the point. Don't do it. Don't have more than one spouse, right? Like, I have one, and one is enough. I mean that in the best, generous way. Like, some of you who are married know exactly what I mean. Why would you try to multiply something that's already good? Just stick with it. But he is the first person in the history of the world to choose two wives. So right away, joking aside, there's something wrong with his heart. Like, he has a heart problem. He says, no, I can't just have one. I'm going to have two. All right, so there's a heart issue going on with Lamech. Secondly, Lamech comes from a very complicated family. Now, we're very early in creation of the world and the family line. In fact, Lamech is the great-great-great-grandson of Cain. Now, you know, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. So he's like one of the first few people, great-great-great-grandson of Cain. And can you imagine, people know each other. Obviously, they're all related in some way. But being a descendant of Cain, that's got some baggage with it. Cain was the first person to murder someone in the history of the world. Cain killed Abel. He killed his brother. Now, that's your great-great-great-granddad or grandfather? So, point aside, all of us are related and have some family relations, and there's some things that we embrace in our family that's been passed on to us, the legacy, and there's some things that we just want to push away, that we want to resist. So he comes from a very, very interesting family. And then thirdly, we learn that Lamech, he's been hurt. Like, here's a guy who has been wounded. We don't know exactly who wounded him. We don't know what exactly the injury was, but there was definitely, and there is, some emotional, some physical scarring that has happened in his life. And soon it begins to take over him. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been wounded, it's different for each person based on the situation, the circumstance. And it'd be very easy for someone to say, you know what? Oh, just get over it. If it's not your pain, you have no idea what that means. You can't just get over a deep, deep, deep wound. When it's you, you know the pain. And so here's Lamech. He's recalling the memory of his great-great-grandfather as he's talking to his two wives and saying, you know what, I killed a man. And then he continues on in verse 24, and he says this, if Cain, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, is avenged seven times, then Lamech, 77 times. Again, speaking in third person, but me, 77 times. Now, there's a significance of this because, as I said, Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, he killed his brother. And as a result, what did God do? God drove Cain to be a restless wanderer out in the wilderness. He said, you have to leave this place. You just killed your brother. And God also said, anyone who kills Cain, they will suffer vengeance seven times over. And God even put a mark on Cain. So anyone who found him would know, this is the guy. This is the one. And so people wouldn't kill him. They wouldn't even touch him. They'd get away from him and say, wow, I don't want to mess with this guy. The first murderer. And so in this story, Lamech, he seems to embrace his troubled legacy. He knows what his past is about, what people say behind his back. Like, that's, well, be careful. His great-great-great-grandfather, he was the murderer. And so he announces to his wife, not with a regret, but almost in a boasting manner, almost bragging, saying, I killed a man for wounding me. A young man. For hurting me. I killed him. That was my response. And so it's almost like Lamech is nursing the grudge that he has. Like, he quickly escalates whatever wrong was done to him, and he takes it to the next level and actually seeks revenge and takes a man's life for what that person had done to him. Now, in that day and then that time, the standard kind of rule of how to live was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. He didn't do that. He went way above that. He said, I'm just going to take your life. And remember, God said, I will avenge Cain sevenfold, seven times. So if someone touches him, they'll have to deal with me. I'll deal with him. And then Lamech, he takes it further by saying, now I will be avenged not seven times, but 77 times. Now here's the significance of this. Numbers are very symbolic in Scripture. The number seven, it symbolizes a number of completion or wholeness. There's a lot of sevens in Scripture. But the number 77, it's symbolic exponentially, meaning to the fullest extent, not just full, but to the fullest extent of that. It's not just seven, but exponentially, seven times 10 times another, plus another seven. Like, it's just to the max. So he says it's not just seven, 77 times, which is interesting. Because as I, this summer, was walking and, you know, talking with our kids and reading lots of stories and doing lots of puzzles and watching Disney Plus and Chronicles of Narnia, we watched Peter Pan. You guys fans of Peter Pan? Classic movie. And there's a scene in Peter Pan where Captain Hook has this unhealthy obsession with Peter Pan. In fact, there's a scene where Shmee, his assistant, he turns to Captain Hook and he says, Captain Hook, your hatred is so relentless, so vindictive, and so malignant. Which took, he responds by laughing and turning to Shmee, and he actually says, well, thank you. Yes, it is, isn't it? And he took it like a compliment. And it, as the story goes on, as you know Peter Pan, Hook doesn't just hold a grudge against Pan, but he nurses this grudge. It fuels him. It fuels the pain that has happened in his own life. And in the very same way, this is what's happening with Lamech. Like, the pain that was caused to him, it fuels him. It like energizes him. And this deep wound that he was felt by this person who hurt him, we don't even know about what it exactly was, it becomes an obsession to him. Like, he can't stop thinking about it to the point where he actually acts and takes a life. And this is where our memories come in. And this is where scientists have studied and found that our most intense emotions lead to our most lasting memories. You think about that? Our most intense emotions lead to our most lasting memories. This is why, for some of you, if you're old enough, when I say 9/11, You remember exactly where you were on that Tuesday morning. And it could be, it's how many years? 20 plus years. Almost 20 years next year. But you remember exactly where you were. You remember who you were around. Because, like I said, the most intense emotions lead to the most lasting memories. Or here's another example. Some of you know exactly who you're around or where you're at when Andy Dalton threw the winning touchdown and the Bills broke their playoff streak. You know exactly where you were, who you were around. I remember counting down that game. It was New Year's Eve. It was the louder countdown for that game than the actual ball drop that year for me. We broke the streak of not going to the playoffs because it was an intense emotional moment that had a lasting memory for me. And this is why, for some of you, you remember the moments when your kids were born, like yesterday. Or you remember the moment when that person you loved passed away. You remember what that felt like. You remember the highs and the lows, the mountaintops and the valleys. Those are the things that are like seared into your memory. It's almost like your brain creates this extra dark or big groove in your brain. Because a memory, it actually forms who and how physically our brains look. It's like this permanent ink happens when we have this emotional experience in our lives that creates this deep groove in our memory. And this is why, when someone does something wrong to you, when someone deeply hurts you, you have this, what they call, flash bulb memory. Some of you remember the old cameras, right? The flash bulb, not that we don't have flashes now, but it was just different back in the day. And it creates these memories that are recorded permanently in our mind. Now, I realize, I know what it's like. I've been hurt deeply. I realize that some of you here today have been hurt deeply in your past, that your confidence was violated or trust was lost, whatever that is. You don't. God knows what that was for you. But it's very easy for this emotional scar to exist. It's easy for you, without even trying to, you think about these things just come into your mind. Maybe you're driving down the road and all of a sudden this memory comes to your mind and you're like, where did that come from? I don't want to think about this. This is why this happens, this flashbulb memory. And it's easy to understand why people become like Lamech, where this hurt is so powerful and it's easy to just fixate on it, to foster it. For some of us, it could be a minor trigger. And this memory flushes into our mind, this that keeps coming back. For other people, it takes the work of faithful, patient counselors to sit with us, people that we trust to just listen to us, process, to sort through our emotions. And for other people, they live out what Lamech lived out. Maybe not to the extent where they physically killed someone, but in their heart, every day they want to kill that person. They feel like that person has caused them to be stuck in a moment, that they can't get past what has happened to them. That person may have moved on, that they're living now, but whatever happened 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago for some of you, you relive that moment every day. And you just want out, but you can't let go because you're so hurt. And you indulge the pain without even realizing it. Next thing you know, it defines who you are. That's not how God created us to live. And so that's why we're talking about this today. And the question that I want to ask you is, what are we to do in situations like this? How are we to handle and manage these memories, these relationships that we have? And here's the answer. The answer is forgiveness. The answer is forgiveness. For some of you, that word, the F word, is harder for you to say than the other F word. Because it's just that personal, that real to you. And it's not easy to forgive someone because it means overcoming our natural desire to hold on to that pain. Or really, when someone wrongs you, it's like they have a debt that they owe you. And we're really good at keeping track. We're really good at saying, no, you owe me this, you owe me that. And so you say, no, I can't let go. They owe me. They took my reputation. They took my identity. They took my joy. They took whatever it may be. And so we keep track. And this memory is, this groove is formed in our brain physically that we can't let go of. But can I tell you, the reason why I'm saying forgiveness is the answer is because forgiveness is so amazing. Forgiveness is the essence of who God is. It's who Jesus is. And to take a memory that's seared in your brain, when you say, I choose to forgive you, you're saying, I choose to live differently today. That my heart that could very easily become hardened and cold, and it affects everything about my life and all of my other relationships. God, I choose and I act to live in a way as though that never happened. Not that you forget and say, oh, I'm just going to move on. But you don't let it be cause you to be stuck in a moment. Forgiveness is a decision to cancel a debt. It's a decision to not keep score any longer. To free, listen to this, forgiveness is a choice to free yourself from the debt that's been caused against you. It's a prison that holds you in a moment. Forgiveness is freeing yourself. And it's one of the greatest miracles that you'll ever experience in your entire life. Like when you came to understand the forgiveness that Christ offers you and your sin, as we sang this morning, that it's gone, that we're free, there's so much freedom in that. And Jesus says, do unto others as you have them do unto you. Or love others just as I have loved you. It's not fair. It doesn't seem right, but God says, this is love. This is my love. Through the power of my Holy Spirit, that I will enable you to let go of these memories. Well, it's interesting that Jesus had a conversation with his disciples about this very issue of forgiveness. One of my favorite passages that's so hard to read, a parable that you've probably heard before, but it's almost as if Jesus references Lamech in this parable. A guy maybe you never heard of it before today, but now that you understand his story a little bit, listen to what Jesus says as he's talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 18. I'm just going to summarize it for you, but I want you to read this passage later, sometime this week, maybe even later today. Listen to this. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? How many times? Up to seven times? In other words, like he was kind of boasting, I'll do seven times. That's a complete number. That's like a holy number. Like, what if I forgive up to seven times? Thinking, I could do that, seven. And Jesus answered and said, I tell you, no, not seven times, but 77 times. And Jesus knew. Was he referring to Lamech? He's saying just as the pain and the aggravation, like he was going to avenge up to 77 times, Jesus says, no, forgive up to. Forgive up to, not a number, don't keep track, but it's the utmost extent beyond what you think is generous. Keep going, let it go, because that's what I've done for you. That's what my Father has done for you. That's why I lay down my life for you. And so Peter asks, and Jesus' response says, no, not seven, 77, to the fullest extent. There is no limit. There is no, oh, you met the limit of my ability to forgive. You keep forgiving. In the same way, it's as though Jesus said that just as Lamech was obsessed with getting revenge, we should be obsessed with giving out forgiveness. That we should be the most generous, forgiving people in all the world as followers of Christ. Not by our own ability, but by the power of his Holy Spirit who lives in us, who forgives us when we sin willingly and when we sin because we are those who fall short of God's glory. And so Jesus then after this in Matthew 18, he goes on to tell this parable, this story that I want to summarize for you. That's so impactful. He tells a story of a servant who owed his master millions of dollars, the equivalent of what it would be like for us today. And the master, he brings in the servant and he says, I want to bring my accounts up to steam. You owe me $1 million, millions and millions of dollars. And the servant falls down and he starts begging to the master and says, I can't pay. Please forgive me. I understand I do owe you that, but I can't pay that.
And the scripture says, Jesus tells a story as the onlookers listen in, tells a story of the master who then turns and says, you know what, that's okay. I forgive you of your debt. I cancel your debt. The IOU, I rip up. He says, go. Generous. Forgiving this master. And then the story goes on. Jesus tells that this guy who just begged and said, please don't send me to prison. I can't pay it, but please don't. And he gets the generous offering of forgiveness. Immediately, he goes and finds someone else who owes him a few $1,000s. Not millions, thousands. And he falls down on his knees. The guy who owes the thousands, he says, I can't pay you. I understand. I do owe you, but I can't pay you. And what's this man's response, who was just in that exact same situation moments before? He says, get out of my sight. Sends him to prison. You owe me thousands of dollars. Refuses to forgive the man or cancel the debt. Just a portion of what just happened for him. And then the master, he hears of this. The guy, the first guy who rightly earned and needed the millions that was owed to him. And he's the forgiving master, comes and finds out this other servant, his servant who he just forgave, refused to do the same to someone else. He brings him in and he says, I heard you did this. And what are you thinking? And he says, get away from me. You owe me that money and you're going to go to prison until you can pay me. He says, you can't have your cake and eat it and not give it out to somebody else. If you experience it, you can't just say, no, I'm going to hold on to this and not give it to somebody else. Because listen to what Jesus says at the end of the story. Jesus says this, and he talks to the people in the room that are listening to him or the space. He's talking to us today. The reason why I'm telling you the story, he says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So Jesus is not saying this is just a suggestion. You should forgive. He's saying this is a command. You are called to forgive other people. If you've received my forgiveness as the master, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, you can't just hold on to that yourself and say, no, I'm just going to keep that for me and be like the servant who owed millions and was forgiven. And then you have another relationship next to you, someone who's hurt you, yes, owe you, yes, but you have to forgive. Because you've experienced forgiveness. Otherwise, you'd never really understood the gracious God that we serve, who loves you, has the best for you, wants to live life so you're not stuck in a moment, scarred by a memory that he says, I will help you, I will heal you, but you got to give it to me, you got to let go. You can't play God. Let me get revenge. You are not called to avenge anybody. That's my job, God says. And yet we feel like we can play God. And God understands your pain. He understood what it meant to send his son to die on the cross when you and I were still sinners, when people were mocking him as it was happening before their eyes. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The people who are nailing them to the cross and seeing the generations to come behind them, who spit at his name and curse his name, even to this day, Jesus said, I still will die for them. I forgive them. See, we're tempted to carry on and hold our own grudges and hold this unforgiveness in our heart like Lamech or Captain Hook or the servant in this parable. But Jesus offers us another way to live. And for some of you, you need to hear this morning in a way because it keeps flooding into your mind. I know I need to hear it. This is why God brought us here. This is how he wants to bring his kingdom here on earth through us and our generosity and forgiveness. And some of you think, Kevin, I hear you, but forgiveness is the hardest thing I could ever think of doing. You don't understand. You're right, I don't. But God does. He knows exactly what has happened. It could be the hardest thing I ever do to forgive. But can I tell you? It's not. The hardest thing to ever do in your life is to carry the burden of the pain for the rest of your life. That's worse. That's a lot worse. You don't experience the joy, the peace, the hope that God offers you. And he's saying, this is your out. This is what I want you to do. This is what I command you to do because I love you. I want the best for you. And forgiveness, again, is not so much for the other person as it is for you to choose to free yourself, to release yourself. Because just like in the parable, When the master sent the person to prison, it's not like God says, I'm going to send you to prison, but can I tell you, it's as though we create this prison ourselves and we send ourselves to prison. God says, there's a way out. I forgive you. I'll give you the power to forgive others. There's a way out so you're not stuck and have this hard heart, this bitterness begins to form in you and it affects every other relationship in your life. Forgiveness is the better and easier way in the long run. And you can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit who is alive in you. Now, I understand. Some of you have been deeply hurt. Some of you have every right to hold on to the debt, to keep those IOUs in your pocket, to have them with you all the time because you feel like you are owed emotionally. And maybe you've been reliving this experience, but today, can I encourage you? Today could be an open door experience for you, an opportunity for you to step into a new reality of how to live life because of what Jesus has done and what he offers to us. You don't have to hang on to that pain, that resentment anymore. You can choose to walk through the door. That's why we have a symbolic door up here. The door of forgiveness, where so many times you get so close, but then you don't want to get close anymore. Or you almost hear God like just saying, just walk through the door. Don't let it trap you into the place that you are. He'll give us the power to move beyond our past. You know, it's funny about doors. Doors do something to our memory. It's interesting. Maybe you've been like me. Here's a situation. So I'm at home. I walk into, let's say, my own bedroom. I walk into the room. And I get into this room. And right away I'm thinking, why did I come in here? You ever had that experience? You're just kind of like, what am I doing? Like, what just happened? There's something significant about walking through a door. Like, research has even shown this to us. It's something called the boundary effect. And this is the reason why some of us are so forgetful when we walk through doors. Like, listen to this. It's true. Researchers have discovered that walking through doorways often cause us to become forgetful. Listen to this quote. Entering or exiting through a doorway serves almost like this event boundary in the mind, which separates activities and episodes and files them away. Like there's something literally about walking through a door frame, a door itself. Now rest assured, you're not insane. If you know what I'm talking about, I'm not crazy either. I've had these moments where I will walk into a place, walk into a room, and I'm like, what did I come in here for? Literally, a door frame does something to our psyche that scientists have revealed. By walking through a door, it triggers something in our brain that causes us to forget. So symbolically, today, spiritually, emotionally, what if God is inviting you to walk through a door, not necessarily to forget, but to let go, to leave whatever pain, whatever memory has haunted you, to say, God, I give it to you. To be an action step, because I believe whatever you do on the outside makes what happens on the inside all that more real and personal. Maybe God is asking you physically and spiritually to walk through a door frame, to take advantage of this boundary effect and to let bygones be bygones. And maybe by walking through the door, you'd say, God, today, this boundary, this relationship that has like just kind of trapped me and imprisoned me, I'm gonna cross through it today. I'm choosing to declare that that hurt, that pain that person caused me, I give it to you. Like God, it's a new beginning that I am taking a new step into a relationship with you, understanding your forgiveness for me that much more and extending that same forgiveness to somebody else. Like, I'm done. I don't want anything to do with that pain, that misery, that prison that I've created for myself. This is the invitation. This is the open door opportunity that God is inviting you into today and each day. That I choose to forgive just as you have forgiven me. Now in closing, I want to just real practically, I want to give you three questions to consider as we close. First off is this. Number one, who has wronged you? Who's wronged you? And don't dance around it, but don't linger in it either. But call it out in your heart. now, the next day, say, God, this person did this, and I feel like I'm owed. And then second, do you want to forgive them? Do you want to? Because can I tell you, forgiveness is never an emotion. Oh, today I'll feel like forgiving them. Or it's never something that just becomes easy. Like, oh, I'm just going to do that today. Yeah, I got nothing else to do today. I'll forgive them today. Forgiveness is a choice. Just like love is a choice. It's not an emotion. It's a choice to say, yes, I choose to forgive them. And you have a couple different choices to make. The first one is to follow the path of Lamech type people, where you continue to let that bitterness grow in you. Pretty soon your heart becomes cold and it affects everything else. The next thing you know, you are on the path of self-destruction. And the next thing you know, you have to numb this pain that grows deeper and deeper and deeper by binging on social media or binging on whatever it may be, alcohol, drugs. That pain overtakes you. This is the root of why people are addicted to things, because they don't let go of certain pains and forgive and give it to God, who says, I'm here. I will take it from you. Let me avenge. That's my job. Or you can forgive. Those are your two options. You can decide to forgive and make that choice. Not a feeling, that choice to say, God, I give this relationship to you. I want to move forward today. Open that door, walk through the door frame and give it to you. Now, let me be real clear. Forgiveness does not mean that you forget the hurt happened. No. It means that you say, God, I remember I gave that to you. That's not mine to do anything with anymore. And forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to become best friends with that person and trust them and hang out with them. No, sometimes it means that you need to even space yourself out more. But you say, God, I give you that relationship. And forgiveness doesn't mean that you're to stay in a dangerous situation, maybe even currently right now. No, not at all. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to remain silent about something that someone's done for you. No, that's not what I'm saying. That person may need to face the full reality, the consequences of what they've done, but it doesn't mean that you need to carry the bitterness that you have in your heart. That's what I'm talking about. It's a heart issue, which will affect everything else, because out of your heart flows everything else. And number three, the last question. What step can you take today? What would God have you to do today, right now, about this situation? As I said, we're wrapping up this series called Golden, where God says, Jesus says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Like, this is the essence of our relationships. This is God's relationship with us when Jesus said, I give my life for you. That while we were still sinners, he died for us. I'm gonna ask you just to close your eyes. Bow your heads. The worship team's gonna come back up. This is just a time between you and God. And maybe for you, maybe you'd even choose to use your chair as an altar. That maybe you'd even say, I just wanna kneel before God and give this relationship to you. You have the freedom to have whatever posture you want. Maybe you do want to turn around. I'm going to go kneel at a chair. I'll just say, God, I give you this relationship. Because all of us have something or someone that's caused a painful memory. So God, in these moments as we pray, and I believe that as we sing our songs, our prayers to you, God, I pray that you would use all that's been said today. But above all else, the power of your Spirit would minister to us, that you would comfort, bring healing to people in whatever situations, and you know exactly what they are, that they would find wholeness and healing and hope, and they would find a freedom in your love and your grace and your mercy. And God, you would bless them. For some people here, maybe they need to do something tangible after. Maybe the person that has wronged them isn't even alive anymore. But they need to just go out and just say something verbally to you outside by themselves with you. Maybe someone needs to get rid of something, physically throw something away. Or maybe God, whatever the scenario, would you give wisdom to know what step? It starts with us saying, God, I forgive this person. Help me to forgive every day. It's not a decision that's one and done. It's an ongoing, but there's a freedom that comes more and more and more with that as you do the same for us. So God, we choose to forgive. We choose to not be controlled by resentment and bitterness and pain and hurt, but God, we choose to pursue and give forgiveness. We love you and we thank you for the power of your Spirit in us that gives us the ability to do such things. In Jesus' name, amen.